So here we go. If you got your Bible, your device, let's hold it up and let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best daylight savings time shout. Amen. I sure do love you. Praise the Lord. If I haven't told you that lately, I sure do love and appreciate you. Open your Bible, if you would, with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians 1. We're talking about covenant benefits. And the reason we're in this series, because it's Easter. And because of Easter, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, because of the cross, it's empty. And the tomb, I've been there. There's nobody in there. That tomb is empty. Because of all of that, you and I are to walk in victory. We're to walk in victory. You know, I've been around the church for a long time, and I see defeated Christians. Nobody in our church, they're in a church far, far away in another galaxy. But I see defeated Christians. That is not God's will for you and I to live defeated. For you and I to live a life of victory, for you and I to live a life of victory, we have to know what our covenant is. We have to know what belongs to us. We have to build our walk on the foundation of God's covenant with us. Does that make sense? We have to build our life on the Word. That's another way of saying it. We have to build our life on the covenant. The covenant, not religion. The covenant, not my denomination. The covenant, not my heritage. The covenant, not my experiences. The covenant, not other people's experiences, can be my foundation. The covenant has to be the foundation for a victorious Christian life. You know what I'm talking about, right, church? You know, we'll have people say, well, I know what the Word says, but Aunt Susie prayed, it didn't happen. I love Aunt Susie, but I'm not going to build my faith on Aunt Susie. Well, you know, I know what the Word says, but Uncle Fred, he went bankrupt, and he was a tither. I'm not going to build my giving on the experience of Uncle Fred. Okay? Well, you know, I know what the Word says, but, you know, what I heard the other day on the radio, television, what I saw, you know, I'm not going to build my life on our culture. I'm going to build my life on a solid foundation, and that's our covenant. The Bible is your covenant. It's covenant promises. Old Testament, old covenant. New Testament, new covenant. We have a far better covenant in the New Testament than they had in the Old Testament. Y'all with me? All right, so we're talking about these covenant benefits or covenant blessings. And I want to help you today realize that once you begin to tap into them, you can get free in any area of your life. There's nothing too hard for God. I understand maybe what the counselor told you, the psychologist told you, the psychiatrist told you, the judge told you. I understand what a well-meaning teacher might have told you, but what saith the Word of God? Covenant benefits, it works like this. This is what my circumstances say. This is what people say. But God, what does your Word say? God, what does your Word say about me and mine? Who can I be? What can I have? What can I do? That's how you tap into the covenant. Covenant simply means agreement with God. When you and I got born again as Christians, now we are to live at a higher standard than the world. We are to live at a higher standard of living than the world. What's normal to the world is not normal for us. Well, it's just normal to have ups and downs and ins and outs, and it's just normal to be addicted. It's normal to be dysfunctional. It's normal to grow up in a blended, broken family. Well, that's the world's normal. That's not our normal. Well, it's just normal not to have enough. It's just normal to be laid off. It's just normal for bad. That's the world's normal. That's not our normal. Are you with me? What's normal to the world should not be normal to you and I as King's kids, as children of the Most High God, as joint heirs with the Most High God, as born-again believers. You and I are to live a higher standard of living, and what's normal for the world shouldn't be normal for us. Are you with me, church? All right, so we're talking about covenant blessings, covenant benefits. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I love the word, don't you? You know, I wish I could dance like Neil, but I can't. I wish I could sing, you know, like Ellie and Daniel, but I can't. But I can teach you the word. And so that's why I'm going to do my best today to say it in a practical way that you can take it out and it'll change your life. Amen? All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and let's look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace, grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Everyone say the first word. Blessed. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed. Do you all see the word hath? For those of you that are English teachers, I think that's past tense, right? It is past tense. It's our word has. Now, last night when I shared this, false teeth dropped out of people's mouths last night because they never saw this. They never realized this. And that's what I'm here for today is help you find freedom by discovering your covenant benefits. So look what it says. It says, Christ who hath, that's past tense, when did he do it? On the cross. Easter. Who hath blessed us with all, last time I looked, it's all inclusive. All means all. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So do you notice something here? He has already blessed us with every blessing available in the covenant. Now we need to find the promise. We need to find that blessing before we can ever begin to think on that blessing. Right? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowing the blessings, lack of knowing the promises of God, and rejecting the knowledge of God. So you should, as a New Testament believer, it's not biblical for you to ask God to bless you. That's how quiet I got last night. Okay, I can tell I'm ministering here. Pastor, what about the prayer of Jabez? Now, Pastor, there's books written on it, series done on it. Every Tom, Dick, and Larry's preached on it. It's a good prayer. Don't you love the prayer of Jabez, the book of Chronicles? You know, Jabez means sorrow, and God turned his sorrow into joy, didn't he? And you know, he said, God bless me. Oh, that was cool. God enlarge my borders. That's awesome. It's an awesome prayer. But you know, that's a prayer under the Old Testament. That's a prayer under the Old Covenant, right? So we're in a far better covenant with far better promises. So why should we ask God to bless us when he said, I've already blessed you? Past tense. So the correct way should be this. How you doing? I am blessed, thankful, and highly favored. That's the biblical way for a New Testament believer who wants to walk in covenant blessings, covenant promises, covenant benefits. You should declare what God has already said over you. God has already said he's blessed your family, he's blessed your job, he's blessed your health, he's blessed your finances, he's blessed your mind, he's blessed you. Past tense. When did he do it? At the cross. So what should you and I be doing? We should be saying what he has already said over us. This is the first step in walking in covenant benefits. Instead of repeating what CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox is saying, why don't we start repeating what God has said? And God has said, past tense, already done, already been. Past tense, he's already blessed you. So you tap into the promises of God by agreeing. I said agreeing, and then aligning yourself with what God has already said. How can two walk together except they agree? Let's start agreeing with what God has said, and no matter how you feel today, with 1 hour less of sleep, you say, I am blessed of the Lord. Well, how do you know? Because God said so. And I'm going to repeat what God has said over my life. And God said, I'm in covenant. I'm a seed of Abraham. I'm in Christ. So I am blessed. Let's practice it, can we? Say it with me. I am blessed of the Lord. Ooh, boy, that sounds good, right? Amen. So now let's look at some of those blessings. You see, you can't walk in them until you find them. I want to give you 5 steps. The first thing is you got to find it. You got to find the promise, find the blessing, find the benefit. All right? You got to find it. You got to search for it. You got to dig for it. You got to look for it. You got to study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God, a workman, a workwoman, without being shamed. That's the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right? So you got to find it. So let me help you. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 5, and then verse 18, amplified. There are seven benefits listed here. There are seven benefits listed here. So let's look at it. Bless, gratefully praise. To be grateful means to be thankful, right? So you and I will tap into these benefits by having a thankful, not critical, thankful, not entitlement, thankful attitude. With a thankful attitude, you'll begin to tap into your covenant benefits. So he says, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Your soul is your emotions. So you're to control your emotions. Your emotions are not to control you. You are to control them, them not to control you. Your soul is your will, your emotions, it's your mind. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me, bless his holy nature. Next verse. Bless, so we forget to do this. I don't know about you, but I'll forget to do this when things get tough. But he reminds us, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one. Don't forget one. The message says not a single one. Well, if we don't find them, how can we forget them? So the first step is we got to find them. We got to get in the Bible for ourselves. You know, growing up, I had all kinds of people. I grew up in the church, a great church, but they would tell me what they thought God had said. And many times I found out God didn't say it. Aunt Matilda said it. Pass it on down to them. Right? So I wanted to get in the book for myself, find out what the Word of God says for me. Who am I? What do I have? What can I do? What belongs to me? What are my redemptive rights? What are my rights and privileges? What can I believe for? What can I stand for? I want to know for myself. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all of his benefits. So we need to have a blessing list every day and begin to write down daily how God blesses us. Can I have a yes in the house? Next verse, verse 3. So he's going to list them now. First one is this. Who forgives? Oh, look what it says, family. Not some of them. Not just the small ones. Not just the ones we only do, but the ones you do over and over again. Oh, thank you, Lord. The ones that we promised, God, I'll never do it again, and I did it. He'll forgive you of that one. The one that you're trying so hard to forgive and you're not getting free of that habit, he'll help you get free today, and he'll forgive you of that iniquity, that habit, that addiction in your life. He's a good God. We sang about him today. So notice the first benefit, the first blessing is he forgives everyone all your iniquities, and an iniquity is a sinful habit, an addiction. He forgives all of them. Number two, he heals each one of. Oh, if it's, you know, if medical science can't heal it, God can. Each one of them, known to man, unknown to man. This is our God today. We're to find this. And then number two, second thing, we're to think on them. You find it in the book, and then you start thinking on it. You find it in the book, and then you start thinking on it. There'll be no change in our life until we change the way we think. There'll be no change in our life until we change the way we think. Will my circumstances get better? I'll get better. No. We'll never get better till our thoughts get better. We'll never get better till our thoughts get better. We'll never get better till our thoughts get better. So he says here, he heals each one of all your diseases. So you got to find it, and then you got to start thinking on those scriptures. Next one, verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? So what is that? That's protection from destruction. Aren't you glad that he protects us? You have ministering angels that guard you. You have His divine protection. That's a covenant benefit. You need to find the promises that cover that benefit. Start thinking about them. It will remove fear, anxiety, and worry from your life. It'll set you free. Amen. Next benefit is that He beautifies, dignifies, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. What is that? Favor. T.D. Jakes calls it fog. The acrostic F-O-G, favor of God. So God gives us favor. You and I need to be declaring that every morning, thinking about His favor. Don't think about what you don't have. Don't think about what you can't do. Don't think about where you can't go. Begin to think about how God has put His favor on your life today. Psalm 5:12 says He surrounds us with His favor. So you tap into them by, first of all, you got to find it, and then you got to start thinking it. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Wealth and riches are in my house, and His favor surrounds us like a wall, like a shield. That's how you do it. That's where it starts. So the next benefit, next verse, verse 5, who satisfies your mouth, and look at this, long life. Everybody say, I'm going to live long. And I'm going to live strong. You need to find that in the Bible, Psalm 91. You need to find it, and you need to start thinking it. Don't think dying before your time. Don't think weakness. Don't think nursing home. Don't think not have enough. Don't worry about retirement. No, you should be finding and thinking the benefits and the promises that cover your health and long life. Amen. So notice He says here, now don't miss this. This is worth coming with an hour less sleep. This is phenomenal. If we could get a hold of this, it would set us free from wherever you are, what decade, what age, wherever you are today. Look what He says, that He will give you the necessity and the desire at your personal age and situation. I have got different needs. I have got different desires today at 65 than I did at 25. And part of my covenant is God knows my needs at 65 and God knows my desires. What does that tell me? Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop having desires. Because God knows what you need and God knows the desires that should be in your heart at age 12, 21, 31, 41, 51, 61, 71, 81. God not only wants to meet your needs. I grew up in a church, a wonderful church, but they hammered into me, Dave, don't believe for anything beyond needs. God will meet your need, but He will not meet your desire. That's selfish. Well, they didn't read this. Y'all see this? Doesn't it say necessity? Last time I looked, that means need. Doesn't it say desire? Last time I looked, that means your dreams, ambitions, and aspirations that God puts in your heart. It means God's purpose, God's best for your life. And God knows He's a good God. This is part of your covenant benefits, so you need to find it, and you need to begin to think on that and renew your mind. Amen. So it says long life. He knows what you need and the desire of your life at every personal decade of your life, with good, so your youth is renewed like an eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring. Now, let's go on down to verse 18. Am I helping anybody today? We're telling you, I'm helping you to find it, and then I'm showing you how to tap into it. Look at verse 18. To such as keep His what? Covenant. How do I keep this covenant? What does it start with? Hearing. Y'all see that? It starts with hearing. You can't believe for what you don't know. You don't have faith until you know it's the will of God for you. Faith begins at the will of God. If you're confused about God's will, you can never ignite God's faith. Powerful statement. So where does this begin? I got to find it, the promise in the Bible. I got to be diligent. I got to search. I got to go with pastor through the Bible this year, and I have to find it, and then I got to start thinking it. I got to start renewing my mind. Number three, I've got to start saying it. If faith comes by hearing, I got to find it. I've got to start thinking it, and then I've got to start saying it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is how you tap into covenant benefits. This is how you walk at a level of victory most Christians don't walk. All right? So he says, first of all, you got to be hearing the covenant. Then you got to be receiving the covenant. Now, for you to receive it, let me give you the five steps. First of all, you got to find it. Say, find it. Secondly, you got to think it. Say, think it. Thirdly, you got to say it. Say, say it. Fourthly, you got to believe it. Say, believe it. Fifth, and now you receive it. Say, receive it. All right, so those are the five steps in receiving it. So you should be continuous tense, hearing it, receiving it, and then what? Loving it. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love His Word today? Do you love His promises today? Oh, yeah, I know you do. Loving it, and then what? Obeying it. So with His covenant, it's full of blessings, but the blessings are attached to conditions. Ooh, hallelujah, jalapeno, hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you know, how come, you know, I've been serving the Lord for all this life and I'm struggling? Question we got to ask ourselves, am I obeying the last thing God told me to do? Or am I running from God, hiding from God, playing games with God, jiving God? You know, am I compromising, am I wavering? What am I doing? Because with the covenant comes promises, cutting of blood, comes a seal, there are words spoken, there's an exchange, but also there's conditions. Just like when you bought your first house, what was that? A contract, a covenant. You meet your conditions, and you get to stay in your house. You meet the bank's conditions, you pay the house payment, you get to stay in your house. So just like with God, I don't have to do anything for God to love me, but I have to meet His conditions for God to bless me. I don't have to do anything for God to love me, but I have to meet His conditions for God to bless me. So this is powerful. And so notice He says, and remember or be mindful. Do y'all see this, family? Am I helping anybody today? Remember, remember, we're to be mindful. You're to be thinking on these covenant benefits, these promises that belong to you. It says that you're to keep His commandments and you are to tattoo. That word imprint actually is our word tattoo. You are to tattoo them on your hearts. Wow. Tattoo what? The commandments. Tattoo what? The benefits. Tattoo what? The promises. We're to tattoo them where? Not on our arm. Not on our leg, right? I'm not against all that. We're not going there. I'm going somewhere, okay? Where do you tattoo His promises? In your heart. Not your physical heart, but your spirit man. Pastor, how in the world, how in tarnation do I tattoo the covenant to my heart? With your mouth. With your mouth. Because what you put in your mouth gets in your heart. What you put in your mouth gets in your heart. So you got to begin to say, I'm blessed. Jesus has already blessed me. I'm walking in the blessings. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. God, I'm blessed wherever I go. I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going. Come on, somebody. And what are you going to do? You're going to tattoo. You're going to imprint. You're going to remember them and put them in your heart. So what's in your heart got there through your mouth. What's in your heart got there through your confession. What's in your heart got there through your confession. And what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. What got in your heart come through what you've been saying, and what's in your heart is shown by what you're saying. Oh, somebody help me now. What got in your heart came through your mouth. What's in your heart comes out your mouth. You know, I've had people, you know, down through the years, you know, you'd be around, somebody comes to the house and they work on our, a plumber comes out to work on our house and they got to fix the stool or they got to fix the hot water heater. And they'll, you know, slip with a couple of cuss words. And then they say, oh, I forgot you're a reverend. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to do that. Yes, they meant to do that because that's what's in their heart. Come on, what's in your heart gets there with your mouth. What's in your heart is shown by what comes out your mouth at your first response. Okay? So we are to tattoo this covenant in our heart. And we do it with our mouth. Am I helping anybody? Okay, go with me if you would. One more passage of scripture, and this is where I wanted to get to today. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, this is the lady with the infirmity for 18 years. Everyone say 18 years. That's a long time to put up with a handicap, isn't it? An addiction, to be in bondage, to live hurting, living in pain, living in the past, living with terrible memories, whatever it might be for you today. That's a long time. I've got good news, though. Jesus can set you free. Yeah, he can set us free. You can find freedom in him. So let's look at the story. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. One translation says arthritis. But she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She was bowed over. She couldn't lift up herself, her head. Verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, now watch this, watch this. I love you. You're thinkers. Listen, catch the revelation. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he spoke a word. How does faith come? By hearing. And he said, woman, that's a term of endearment. Woman, thou art loosed, or you are free from your infirmity. Did you notice she wasn't loosed yet? She wasn't loosed yet. She wasn't free yet. Nothing had changed. She was still bowed over. He called things that be not as if they already were. Jesus said, woman, come to me. You are loosed. You are free from how the devil has bound you these 18 years. And then the second step, then he laid hands on her. And then the third step, then she was immediately healed. But notice, Jesus saw her healed before she was healed. Oh, praise the Lord. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Next verse. And she glorified God. And then the rulers of the synagogue, they got all happy over that because Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. Verse 15. And the Lord answered and said, you hypocrite. Verse 16. Look at verse 16. Ought not this woman, Jesus is saying, the will of God for this woman. Normal for this woman is not to be bound for 18 years. Normal for this woman is not to deal with arthritis for 18 years. Normal for this woman is not to be held captive, live dysfunctional, live crippled, live unhappy. Normal for this woman is that she should be free from what Satan has bound her, held her captive with. Why, Jesus? Because she's a covenant woman with covenant rights and covenant benefits. As the team comes out, ought not this woman, being a daughter of who? That's a reference to the Abrahamic covenant. Aren't you a seed of Abraham? Aren't the Jew is you, baby, in Abraham, in Christ. In Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, Christ's seed. So the blessing, Abraham's covenant, is yours through Christ. So what does Jesus say? Hadn't this woman be free? She's not supposed to live normal. She's not supposed to be bound. She's supposed to be free. Why? Because she's a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, not God, Satan is in the binding business. Jesus is in the freeing business. Who has bound her these 18 years. Then Jesus said, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day. Now, let me read this verse from the New Living Translation. Am I helping anybody? The New Living Translation. Look what it says. This dear woman. Wow. This dear woman. Boy, that's not the one I want. Let's go back, guys. I need the one where it says she's been crippled. Praise God. There's one there that says she's been crippled. Thank you, guys, for helping me. One more. Oh, here it is. Jesus saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years, was unable to stand up straight. Question, are you living crippled? Are you crippled in your mind because of racism, bigotry, because of a rape, incest, an addiction, a divorce, a bankruptcy? Are you living crippled because you didn't get to go to the schools, you didn't live in the neighborhood? Are you living crippled because of what a Christian did to you? Are you living crippled because of what an ex-mate did to you, how your kids are treating you, how your brother or your sister, or how the community, how the culture, what they've done or haven't done? Are you living a crippled life? It's not God's will for you to live a crippled life. It's God's will for you to be free and be loosed from whatever mind game, whatever torment, whatever worry, fear, anxiety that Satan is trying to cripple you with. It's God's will for you to be free of that. Because as a Christian, you have a covenant. And it's your covenant right to live at a higher standard than the world. It's your covenant right that their normal is not your normal. Well, you know, my father died of rheumatoid arthritis. My father, age 57, rheumatoid arthritis, crippled him. His hands were like this, my father. I remember one time Kim and I, we just got married. My dad was still alive. And I remember one morning I woke up. We just got married and I woke up and all of a sudden I had pain all over my body. I had pain all over. We're getting ready to take communion, by the way. Covenant meal. I had pain all over my body. Kim and I have been married about a year. I had pain all over my body. My joints hurt, my fingers hurt, everything. And I heard a whisper. I heard a whisper. And it said, yep. Just like your dad. Arthritis. You're going to die early too. Kim and I have been married 1 year. My dad was still alive at that time. Stricken by arthritis. Church told him it was God's will. Church told him God was teaching him something. He accepted it. And that voice came to me, and I'm giving God the glory, God the praise. I'm giving it all to him. But that voice came and said, yep, you're going to die just like your dad. You're going to die early. You got arthritis, dude. It's creeping all over your body. It's hereditary. And you know what? Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for what I'm sharing with you today from God's word. I got out of bed. I said, no way. Devil, I rebuke that thought. That is not a God thought. Devil, I rebuke that thought. I resist that thought. I pull that thought down. You know, and I got up, started walking around. And you know, it took a couple, two or three days for all the pain to go, but it eventually left. I'm telling you, it's not God's will for you to live crippled in any area of your life. Financially, relationally, I just can't get along with people, Pastor. I'm just not a people person. That's living life crippled. That's not God's will for you. I just can't hold a job. That's not God's will for you. Jesus came to set you free, and free indeed. And when you know the covenant, when you find it, you start thinking it, every promise that covers every need in your life. You start saying it, you start believing it, you'll start receiving it. You tattoo the promises of the covenant in your spiritual heart by every day making daily confessions. In Jesus' name, I'm out of time. Can you give the Lord a good praise? Hallelujah.